Text 1. A good sandwich. Gordon was hungry. He opened the refrigerator. There must be something in here to eat, he thought. There was a single hot dog. He took it out of its package and put a small frying pan onto the stove's gas burner. He turned on the heat. Then he poured a little bit of vegetable oil into the pan. He sliced the hot dog in half lengthwise. When the oil got hot, he put the two halves in the pan. About a minute later, he flipped each half over. After another minute, he took the hot dog out of the pan. Gordon put two slices of bread into the toaster. This was tasty and healthy bread. The first ingredient listed was organic sprouted wheat. The first ingredient in ordinary bread is usually unbleached flour. When the toast popped up, he put mustard, mayonnaise, and ketchup on one slice. Then he added two slices of onion. On top of the onions, he placed the hot dog. On top of the hot dog, he put a couple of slices of apple. Then he added some bits of hot green chili, and then put the top piece of toast onto the chili bits. Ah, what a sandwich, he thought, as he sat down to eat. Text 2. Sarah's stomachache. Sarah needed to see the doctor. She had an upset stomach. She felt bloated, and needed to pass gas every minute or so. This was terrible. She couldn't go anywhere in public. Her friends told her it was because she had moved to America. The air, water, and food in America weren't agreeing with her. They said she would have to return to her home country. No way, Sarah said. She didn't want to go home. She liked America. This was a minor problem, she was sure. Any good doctor would solve it in no time. 2 days later, she saw her doctor. He asked her if she drank milk. She said yes, 3 glasses a day. Don't drink any more regular milk. Start drinking lactose-free milk, because lactose can upset your stomach. Then he asked her if there were any big problems in her life. She said that her boyfriend was a big problem. He wanted to get married, but she didn't. The doctor said that she should find another boyfriend. Why? Sarah asked. Because your boyfriend is giving you too much stress. He is probably the main cause of your upset stomach. I don't think my boyfriend is going to like that. Just tell him if he really loves you, he should leave you. Text 3. Please, marry me. Jill answered the phone. It was Jack. Jill, will you marry me next week? What? Jack repeated his question. Of course not, she replied. She wondered why he was asking her that question. They had already agreed that when people get married, they immediately start to take each other for granted. They don't do the little things, like opening the car door or holding hands. They get too comfortable. They treat their partner like an old shoe. And eventually, They get bored with each other and get divorced. We already agreed that we don't want to get married because we don't want to get divorced. Jack agreed. But he argued that they were special. They were different from other couples. They loved each other too much to end up in a divorce. Yes, that may be true. But still, why next week? Why can't we think about it for another year or two? Because I had two dreams the last two nights. In both dreams, you left me for another man. In fact, you left me for two different men. I want to get married now so I don't have these dreams anymore. What did these men look like? Text 4. Laundry day. Saturday morning meant one thing for Susanna: doing the laundry. She hated doing the laundry. Unenthusiastically, she took the pillowcases off all the pillows. Then she removed the fitted sheet from the mattress. She took the towel off the towel bar in the bathroom. She grabbed a couple of dirty dish towels out of the kitchen and looked all around her apartment for anything else that needed washing. In the corner of her living room, a can of coins sat on top of the file cabinet. She fished out 7 quarters. She opened the cabinet under her kitchen sink and grabbed a plastic bottle of liquid detergent. Finally, she set her electronic timer for 35 minutes. The timer would remind her that the washing was done, and that it was time to go back downstairs and put the clothes into the dryer for 40 minutes. Without the timer, Susan would completely forget to check her clothes. Susan carried the laundry basket downstairs. How happy she would be when her laundry was done for this week. As she approached the laundry room, she heard a familiar sound. The sound was the washer washing and the dryer drying. One of her neighbors had got there before her. Muttering, Susan took her basket back upstairs. Text 5. A noisy neighbor. Barbara couldn't take it anymore. Her upstairs neighbor was blasting his stereo again. She had asked him twice already to turn the volume down. The first time she asked, he was surprised. He said he didn't know that she could hear his stereo. "Yes," she said, "it's just like your stereo was in my living room. I can hear every note." He said he would keep it down. She hoped that he was telling the truth. Of course, he wasn't. The very next day, he blasted his stereo. She marched upstairs to remind him of his promise. He said the volume was so low that he could barely hear it. She asked him to turn it lower. He said he would try. Barbara could swear that when she re-entered her apartment, the music was louder than when she had walked upstairs. So, this was the third time. She took her baseball bat upstairs with her. She knocked very loudly on his door. When he opened the door, she screamed at him like a crazy person. She told him she would kill him if he didn't turn the music down and keep it down. His eyes got big. She went back downstairs. She couldn't hear a note. I can't believe I said that, she told herself. Text 6. The new realtor. Norma was discouraged. She was a new realtor. She had recently passed the state test on her first try. Then she joined a realty company. They offered training classes 2 to 4 times a week. Norma attended the classes faithfully. But because English was her second language, she didn't catch everything that the instructor said. When she asked the instructor to repeat something, he told her to see him after class. But when other students asked a question, the instructor answered the question right then and there. To Norma, the instructor always said, "See me after class." Then, when she tried to see him after class, he would say that he was late for an appointment. "How about next time?" he would say. He was always too busy to help her. "He's not too busy, he's just too lazy," her boyfriend said. There are too many instructors like that. All they care about is presenting their information. If the students don't get it, that's their problem. You have to be strong. These people are not going to help you. They want you to fail, because that means less competition for them. It's a dog-eat-dog business. Text 7. The fire alarm. Jennifer's ears were talking to her. They were making little sounds, like little bubbles bursting. A bubble was bursting almost every second. It was not painful, but annoying. She knew the cause. While she was cleaning the whiteboard after her class ended last night, the fire alarm went off. Instead of leaving the building immediately, she walked around to see what the problem was. The blaring alarm sounded like the busy signal on a phone, but 1,000 times louder. The school seemed to be empty. Then she walked by one room and saw about 7 students inside. Just then the night supervisor came by. She told everyone to leave immediately. The students were packing their hair care equipment into their bags. The night supervisor waited impatiently. Finally, after almost 5 minutes, all the students and their teacher left the building. They apologized for being so slow. The firemen never arrived. Instead, a school police officer showed up. He walked around the area with the supervisor. It was a false alarm. The officer used his key to finally turn off the alarm. But it was too late for Jennifer. She had listened to the loud alarm for too long. She should have known better. Even as she drove home, her ears felt strange. Text 8. Eddie's short visit. Eddie drove over to see Betty. When he got to her apartment at about 3:15 p.m., he saw that her car wasn't in the carport. So he wrote a note, "Hi, Betty. I love you and I miss you. Love, Eddie." He was about to tape the note onto her front door when he saw her car pull up. She walked up the stairs. Instead of the big smile, hug, and kiss that she usually greeted him with. She simply said, "What's up? You didn't call me back for the last 2 days, honey, so I came over to see you." He gave her the note. She opened it, read it, and put it on the kitchen table. "That's sweet," she said. She walked into her bedroom. Eddie followed her. She put her purse on the bed. Eddie tried to hug her. "I have to wash my hands," she said. When she came out of the bathroom, she told Eddie that he should go home. She said that she was hungry and tired. She was going to fix something to eat. Then she was going to take a nap. She said that she might call him later. During Eddie's entire 5-minute visit, Betty had constantly avoided his eyes. Instead of walking him out to his car, like she usually did, Betty locked her front door as soon as Eddie was outside her apartment. Text 9. Carbon monoxide. Helen stepped outside her front door to see what the weather was like. It was sunny and warm. That was nice, because for the past 2 weeks it had been cold and rainy. It had been so cold that she had had to turn her heater on. She was lucky, because her heater worked and she could pay her heating bills. Some people in Los Angeles were not so lucky. Unable to use their home heater, they placed charcoal into a barbecue grill and lit it. The heat kept them warm, but the carbon monoxide killed them. This happens almost every winter in Los Angeles. People shut all the windows tight to keep the cold out, then light the charcoal. Soon enough, the oxygen in their home is consumed by the open flames. The family suffocates to death. Everyone knows that smoke detectors are required in Los Angeles. But many people don't know about, or don't think they need, carbon monoxide detectors. They're not expensive. A $25 investment can save a family from death. People always think that nothing bad will happen to them. It always happens to the other guy. So they forget to put fresh batteries into their smoke detectors annually, and they don't bother to buy carbon monoxide detectors. Text 10. A visit to Asia. Liz was excited. She was going to Asia with her mom. Neither of them had ever traveled out of the United States before. They were going to fly to Hong Kong. After staying in Hong Kong for 3 nights, they would travel on their cruise ship to Shanghai and Beijing. Beijing is inland, so we have to take about a 2-hour bus ride to get there from the port. I forget the name of the port. Anyway, we're going to see the Great Wall, the Tiananmen Square, and the Forbidden City. It's going to be so cool, she told her neighbor Jane. From China, the cruise ship would go to Busan in South Korea, and finally to Tokyo. From Tokyo, they would catch a flight back to Los Angeles. The trip is going to last 3 weeks. It's only going to cost us $2,800 each. If we can control our urge to shop, she laughed. I hope your trip is more fun than mine was, said Jane. I took a cruise to the Bahamas, but almost all the passengers got sick. I caught some kind of virus that made me throw up for almost 3 days. They gave us a discount that we could use on a future trip. Ha! No more cruising for me. We've heard about those disasters, said Liz. Mom and I are going to be washing our hands every 30 minutes, and we're bringing surgical masks with us.